Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Well, here it is, the month of June. Seemed just like a couple of weeks ago, it had just turned January the 1st. And now we're not quite, but almost halfway through the year. And of course, for most folks who live in the Northern Hemisphere, we kind of look forward to the summer months and to one of the events that we usually think about during that period. That's right, vacation. How many of you have thought about vacation? I see a couple of hands going up. Oh, yeah, we like vacations. Time when we can go away and be free from some of the duties that we have around home. Sometimes the bad part, though, is we come back home and it all catches up with us, you know. And I know we just came back from a vacation. It seemed like when we got home, all the work and hard labor we'd put in the yard and stuff was to no avail because all those weeds had grown back up again. And it seemed like they had done it with a vengeance. Well, as I said, Mary and I just recently returned from a vacation, and the time when we got to see family that we had not seen in a long time, and some that we had not seen in maybe 8, 9, 10 years or more. Along the way of the tribe that we were able to take, we got to see some of the wonders and the beauties of God's creation. And yesterday, as we were going through the photos that we took as we visited several states, and as we visited that wondrous creation of God that they call Yellowstone National Park, all the beauties and things that we saw there, and just think how magnificent it is, something that only a creator could create. And I know there are those folks, and some may even be listening to this program, but they will say, oh, no, it's just all a matter of it all just happened. But I'll tell you, I cannot see how it is with any realm of possibility that all these glorious things just happened. And, of course, the question I have to that, if it just happened, why is it still not just happening in some other things that we haven't seen before? And they don't have an answer for that. But we were amazed and enthralled by the beauty of nature and by the magnificence of the animals that roam the park. And as we got to see some magnificent buffalo, and of course what Mary was interested in the most was not the full-grown adult buffalo, but the baby buffaloes. Got to see those and baby elk and some others and various little creatures that God created that were out there roaming in the wild of the wilderness there. And yesterday as we were going someplace, we took one of the back roads and we hadn't been down for quite a while. And again, we were remarking about how beautiful it was, the greenness of the grass, the blueness of the sky, and all the various things that we could see just right here around us. And Mary remarked, it's so beautiful, or if it's so beautiful, it makes you wonder even more what heaven must be like. We see a lot of beautiful things here if we look for it. You know, there are some people, and I have to say this, there are some people, they can't find beauty in anything because they're so all messed up in their mind and in their brain that everything is horrible to them, you know. They're the Mr. Grump gone wild, I guess. You know, it's just nothing is good. Nothing is good. But when you look for the beauty in things and you seek the beauty in things, you begin to see it. And you begin to see all of what God has made available to us. And He has blessed us so much. I know I find it interesting sometimes as we're driving down the road. And my wife loves birds. And we'll be driving down the road, and suddenly she'll see a bird that she likes, and the words that come of our mouth. Thank you, God, for the red birds or the blue birds. Thank you, God, for the rain. Thank you, God, for the clouds. All of these things that God has created for our blessings and our enjoyment and our pleasure. We truly have a God that loves us and cares about us. So what do we think about heaven then? What must it be like? Well, before we go into that, I was just thinking as I was, these thoughts were coming to my mind, and the title of a song just came across my mind, and I'll have to say it's a song that I don't think I've ever heard. I don't even know how I came to know the title. So I looked it up on the internet to see if there really was such a song, and it was I found out that it was recorded by Johnny Cash, and that didn't mean anything. I remember him as, you know, singing songs about Folsom Prison and stuff like that. But I don't think of a song like I was thinking about. And I found this song was written by Herbert Buffum. And Herbert Buffum, if you're not familiar with him, lived from 1879 to 1939. Published over 1,000 songs in his lifetime, but wrote close to 10,000 songs altogether. Songs such as He Abides, I'm Going Through, and The City Where the Lamb is the Light, and thousands of others which were not published. But the song title that he wrote that came to my mind was When I Take My Vacation in Heaven. And I want to read the words to that to you today. There are those who are taking vacations to the mountains, the lakes, and the sea, where they rest from their cares and their troubles. What a wonderful time that must be. But it seems not my lot to be like them. I must toil through the heat and the cold, seeking out the lost sheep on a mountain, bringing wanderers back to the fold. But when I take my vacation in heaven, what a wonderful time that will be, hearing concerts by the heavenly chorus, and the face of my Savior I'll see. Setting down on the banks of the river, neath the shade of the evergreen tree, there I'll rest from my burdens forever. Won't you take your vacation with me? Setting down on the banks of the river, under the shade of the evergreen tree, there I'll rest from my burdens forever. Won't you take your vacation with me? So what about the beauties of heaven? Well, we know, according to God's word, that there is a special place that's prepared for us. John chapter 14, verses 2 through 3, Jesus himself spoke these words and said, In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. And I know the King James says mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may ye be also. So Jesus himself promised us that he was going to prepare a place for us. He has prepared a special place, if you're a Christian, for you. Think about it. We serve a God that not only loves us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for us, that we could have salvation from our sins, but he has now prepared a special eternal dwelling place for us. Now this life here, it goes by in a flash, really. I was just talking to Brittany and Kevin this morning before church, and we were talking about how time flies. And I said, you remember when you were in school, you know, and the years dragged by. It was an eternity. 1 year was an eternity. It seemed like it would never end. And then as you got out of school and you began to mature and became an adult and get your own families and stuff, time just started to pick up. And the next thing you know, it was just whizzing by as compared to a car going 15 miles an hour down the street and another one going 90, you know. It's just zipping by. This life here goes by. It's just a flash in the pan, so to speak. It's just a breeze that goes by. Well, what do we think about heaven? I know that right off, one of the first things people think about heaven is, well, there's streets of gold, you know. And that description comes to a lot of people's mind, especially we were talking with someone the other day about people who are trying to get their money and all of this stuff, you know, and all they wanted was money, 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 you know, and what they could accumulate and what wealth they could build up and all of these things. But you can't take it with you. And besides there, what would it be worth? I saw a cartoon one time of a rich man who wanted to take his gold to heaven, so God allowed him to take his gold to heaven. And as he's taking his gold into heaven, one of the angels looks and says, why in the world would he want to bring pavement? Because really that's all it's worth there. It's pavement. So what do we think about? Well, let's see. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we don't have time to read all of verses 1 through 9, but we're going to read just a part here, verse 2 and 3. He says, I knew a man above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such as one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew him, such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. He's talking about, I went into the third heaven. Now, if you start to read and you find out there are three heavens, there's the atmospheric heaven, the one that we live in right now, and we breathe the air of, the birds fly in, and so on. There's the second heaven, which is the stellar space and all of that stuff. And then there is the third heaven that the Bible tells us is where God dwells. It is the dwelling place of God. Paul was caught up there. And as Paul was caught up there, he says, there were things that I was not allowed to write about, things that I was not allowed to speak about, what I saw and heard here. But as time goes on, we find the Apostle John is on the Isle of Patmos, and God begins to reveal some things to him. And he does give him some more description of heaven. And I want to read you some stuff that I took just for expediency's sake out of the Unger Bible Dictionary about the heavenly city. You know, there is no way for us to possibly describe what heaven is really like. We just don't know all there is to know about it. Sometimes we think we know there's everything that there is to know. But when it comes to heaven, we're only guessing about a drop in the bucket and the few things that God has revealed about it. But what he has revealed about it, it's magnificent. Here's what it says about heaven. The Apostle John describes the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city. And prophetic students have given this various interpretation. Zeiss, Scott, Kelly, Darby, and Jennings maintain it describes the millennium. Ottman, Larkin, Govett, and others hold that it describes the eternal state. And J. Dwight Pentecost correctly described it, he said, as the internal habitation of the resurrected saints during the millennium. It's not only the dwelling place of the resurrected saints during the millennium, it is the dwelling place of the resurrected saints for eternity. We are going to be eternal residents of heaven. Think about that. Now, I know here he's talking about the New Jerusalem, and there could be some debate here because the New Jerusalem, and we're going to talk about it in just a moment here, is described as coming down and being on earth after the millennial period, after the new heaven and the new earth is created here. But we're still a part of that. We're still a part of God's creation, a part of what God has created for us as His children. And remember, when you become a Christian, you become what? You become a child of God. You become a part of His family. You become, the Bible tells us, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Think about that. It's part of what is promised you. He goes on to say, the city is a literal city. And from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 23, we learn that the inhabitants of this city, besides being God Himself, is the bride, which is the Lamb's wife, or the church. We are the bride of Christ. It's described several ways here, also as the general assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, the redeemed saints of the Old Testament, and various angels that are there. And we're not talking about fallen angels. We're talking about the angels that did not fall. And a lot of people, beings dwell there, the angels, the saints of God. You are going to be an inhabitant of heaven. John goes on to write, is said to possess the glory of God in Revelations 21:11 with a brilliance like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. It has 12 gates, we're told, inscribed with the names of the 12 tribes of the son of Israel, indicating Israel's portion in the city, and that is the redeemed of Israel. And the 12 foundations of the city's walls will have them in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Just think about it. A gate made out of a single pearl. How many of you ladies like pearls? Ah, some of you do, I see. How big are pearls generally? Oh, probably what, maybe quarter of an inch in diameter or something like that. A little bit bigger maybe, some of them. And I know you can get into synthetic or man-made pearls a little bit bigger. But think about it. A real pearl, big enough that it becomes a gate. Think about that. Doesn't that blow your mind? Especially those that like pearls. Think, man, I'd like to have one of those. But you're going to live in a place where those are just gates. The gold is just the pavement underneath your feet. Some of these other precious stones just make up building materials. I want you to think about it. I don't know anybody here ever watches jewelry television. That could be a very expensive channel to watch. They show some pretty pieces of jewelry on there and some pretty rocks that they call precious stones. Some of them very expensive. Most of them are not very big. I don't think they've ever sewn anything on there that was any bigger than what you could hold in your hand. Yet some of it costing thousands of dollars. And yet where we're going to dwell, that's just building material. You don't even have any idea what your dwelling place there is going to look like. As we drive down the street sometime and we look at some magnificent homes that are built here on earth, they're a shanty compared to what God has prepared for us. He's prepared such a dwelling place for us. It goes on to tell us that there's no temple there because God is unveiled in all of His glory. No light is needed because the glory of God is the light that's revealed in that city. In that city is the river of life flows freely. In that city, the tree of life yielding its fruit monthly and its leaves being for the healing of the nations. God has prepared such a wonderful dwelling place for us. I know it's summertime now, or getting to be summertime. How many of you here have allergies? Oh, a good portion of the people, you know. It can be miserable, can't it? You got to take something for it sometimes, or you go around coughing and sneezing and your nose running and all that stuff, and you feel downright miserable. Just think about it. No more allergies. No more, for some of you, no more broken bones. For others, no more aches and pains. And I know it seems like, especially as you get a little bit older, you wake up in the morning and you feel those aches and pains and you start to think, well, at least I know I'm still alive. You know? None of that stuff anymore. In that body that will have none of these faults that we deal with now. You know, when God created man back in the Garden of Eden, He didn't intend for man to die. He intended for man to live forever. He still intends for man to live forever. Our spirit never dies. Our soul never dies. It's only this fleshly body that we're dwelling that the curse of death came upon. And we've dealt with that for thousands of years now. But that day is coming that we're going to be living in a resurrected body, a glorified body, where there will be none of that stuff. No more having to go to the gym to work off the fat. No more having to go to the gym to tone up the muscles. We'll be in that perfect body. That's what God has promised us. As I said, Herbert Buffum wrote the song, "When I Take My Vacation in Heaven." And I guess I have to disagree with Mr. Buffum a little bit. And I know we've sung his songs for years. But the problem is with that title, vacations come to an end. I mean, we went on vacation and a certain day came on the calendar and we said, uh-oh, vacation's over. It's time to go back home. Go back to all the things we got to do at home. If you got a job you got to go back to. If you don't, you get fired. If you get fired, you got no money. And it's just a cycle that goes there. So vacations come to an end. And we have to go back to work. And I was thinking, and I know several of you here were in the military, and if you were stationed at a particular place, you were assigned to whatever base or post or whatever that you were assigned to, and you were going to be there for a length of time, and part of your assignment, you were called permanent party. At least you were in the Army. You were permanent party. That meant you were assigned there. You might have to go off somewhere else for a little bit while, but you belonged to that post and to that base. And I was just thinking, when I get to heaven, I plan to be permanent party. That's where I plan to be assigned. That's where I plan to be based out of. And no matter what duty assignments I receive from God after I get there, I will still be part of that heavenly station. And I know some folks don't stop to think about that duty assignment part there. A lot of people think that heaven, once you get there, it's you sprout wings. You learn magically how to play a harp, and you sit around on clouds all day. I don't know about you, but that doesn't really seem too exciting. I mean, maybe learning how to play a harp might be exciting for a while, but after 10,000 years, you know, it might get a little bit old if that's all you did. Sprout wings and you can fly, so what? That'd get old too after a while. No, I think God has a lot of exciting things in store for us that we don't even know about yet. I think He has jobs for us. Now, I know today when you go to work, you come home at the end of the day, you're what? You're tired. But there, you're not going to get tired anymore. Not going to have that fatigue or those things. You're not going to have that brain drain that you sometimes get. You go in the morning, by the end of the day, it feels like somebody has squeezed your head. God's got exciting things for us in heaven. We may take vacations here on earth, but when we get to heaven, it's permanent party. We're part of the family. We'll be part of the operation that's going on there. Think about it. There are things that God will have for us to do. And my wife has always said that she knows what God's job for me in heaven is, that I'm going to be the timekeeper. But guess what? She's wrong. You know why I know she's wrong? Because there is no time. No time. Don't have to worry about that anymore. I won't have to keep looking at my watch. I won't have to look at the stop clock in the back of the building here. Any of those things. because we're going to be there for eternity. We're going to be in that city where the Lamb is the light. We're going to be in that dwelling place of the eternal God. We're going to be in His presence. And we're going to see beauty and magnificence that our puny brains can't even think about right now. As God has prepared a place for us. Now, I said I like to think about it as being a duty station in a sense. And the Bible does tell us in Zechariah, going all the way back into the Old Testament here, Zechariah 14:5, he says, "And you shall flee into the valleys of the earth. Valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azazel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him." And then in Revelation chapter 19, it talks about the heavens being opened. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And it goes down into verse 14. It says, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." We're coming back with Jesus. We're going to be with him. We're part of his army. Remember as a kid, some of you may have sang in what they used to call booster band, and at least in the church I went to, and all of that. And we sang, "I'm in the Lord's army, you know, and I'm going to march," and all of this other stuff. But we're in God's army. We're in God's army right now. We're part of it right now. A lot of people like to think, "Oh, well, you're a Christian. You're supposed to be mealy-mouthed and pushover and all this stuff." We're fighting the battle for the Lord right now. We are to stand up and take a position and say, "This is what the Word of the God says. Thus saith the Lord," when it's in God's Word. And I know there's some people out there saying, "Thus saith the Lord," in front of everything that they spout out of their mouth, and some of it's a bunch of garbage. And I tell you, you're in big danger if you're doing something like that. But the Word of God, if you quote the Word of God, it is true, and it will stand for eternity. You're in God's army. So my last question is, what will be your eternal destination? The Bible tells us there are two places you can go. You can go to heaven, or you can go to hell. Hell wasn't designed for man. The Bible tells us it was designed for the devil and his angels. But you only go there if you choose not to accept the price that Jesus paid for you on the cross of Calvary. So how do you get to heaven? As I said, accept what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary. A few weeks ago, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday, or as most people call it, Easter. The time that we celebrate remembering that Jesus was crucified on an old rugged cross. And there he gave his life that we could have forgiveness from sin. And all we have to do is say, "Jesus, forgive me of my sin." Something just as simple as that. Come into my heart. Forgive me. And you'll be a part of that heavenly kingdom. Father, I thank you today for your word. And I pray, Father, as this message goes forth from this place, Father, that it would touch hearts and lives, Father. And those who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior would ask him into their heart today. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's house. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.